Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Acts 4, 32, 35 through 35 goes like this. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Verse 33, and we're just talking about the first part of it this week. With great power, somebody say great power. The apostles continued, somebody say continue, to testify. Say testify. Look at your neighbor, say, I gotta testify. I'm just glad y'all did that run with me. I love that. Continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. Today, if you are taking notes, and I encourage you to take notes because the Bible says in Jedidiah 75:58 that those that take notes get to heaven. And if you believe that, I have more work to do than I thought. My God. Somebody's like, false prophet. Yeah. If you're taking notes, I'm entitled this message this. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? See, I love that, because when I say that, y'all already know you're supposed to respond. Can I get a witness? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for each and every person that has decided to be in this house today, God. Before the earth began to spin on its axis, God, you knew that each and every one of them would be here. God, I pray that I lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I pray before today is said and done that somebody would hear you, somebody would see you, somebody would feel you in a way that they never have before. I pray that in all the words I say, that they understand that there is only one word, one name that could save you, and his name is Jesus. Let him hear the heart of Jesus today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody set. Everybody set. Somebody give Jesus a shout of praise. Okay. I'm an old school church boy. So because I'm an old school church boy, I mean, I was in church my whole life. My mom took me to every church service they ever had, not just the ones on Sundays, not just the midweek, but she took me to the Seasoned Saints, the Salt and Pepper Prayer Warrior service. She took me to the homeless feeding service. She took me to the church lady hat wearing service. She took me to whatever service was available because she made sure that my butt was in church at all times. And the saints said, amen. With that being said, I've heard a lot of preachers growing up. And I love preachers. I know now I am a preacher. It is not the thing that I thought I would do with my life, but I'm so thankful that I get to do this. So being a guy that loves preachers and listens to preachers a lot, there was an old saying that the preacher used to say when he wanted you to co-sign on a statement that he made. When he wanted you to agree with him, he would rev up and he would preach that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last, and the Sunday, the Monday, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then eventually after he finished all the days of the week, he'd add a couple more days on there, the fun day and the Hyundai and the shout about the Hyundai. Okay. He would add all the days on. And when he was done, to make sure the crowd was still with him, he would say, can I get a witness? Now, see, I can tell some of y'all ain't been to church before. That's okay. That's okay. The preacher said, can I get a witness? Yeah. And when the preacher revved up and he said, can I get a witness? The people would respond and the preacher would know that the people were with him and they were understanding and listening to what he was saying. What the preacher was looking for was for somebody to co-sign, somebody to agree with, somebody to sign on for, sign up for what he was saying in the moment. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. The preacher would preach his guts out and he would say, can I get a witness? Yeah. And the people will respond. I found that people use this phrase even in today's culture because they want someone else to corroborate the story they are telling. When we say, "Can I get a witness?" what we're actually looking for is for somebody to agree with us. How many of you like it when people agree with you? Like, I counsel couples all the time, and, you know, they come and they're like, "Pastor T, we can't stop arguing. Oh, it's a communication problem, this, this, and that, because he said this, or because she said that." And I always say this, you want to be happy or you want to be right? Because you can be right and be by yourself. And you can be happy knowing that your spouse agrees with you. Can I get a witness? I want to be happy because we find ourselves on the same page. I'm not necessarily worrying about being right, because at the end of the day, you could be right and it still feels so wrong. Can I get a witness? I love this because I believe that if we look at the Bible and look at that passage of scripture that I just talked about very carefully, I believe Jesus is letting us know through his written word exactly what he wants out of us. He wants someone else other than himself to corroborate his story. I just gave you the whole message right there. So if you can't clap for that, I don't know what we're going to do. Jesus is looking for a witness. The reason that we have this story is so that we can testify about this story in our lives and what it has done, so that when we testify, somebody else will take this story and testify about it as well. Can I get a witness? Jesus is looking for a witness to tell his story. I found so often that people fail to testify and they fail to witness for two simple, very simple truths. And the reality is, some people don't testify because they don't know how and they don't know what to talk about. They don't know how and they don't know what to talk about. So if you're taking notes, write this down. It's simple. How do I witness? How do I witness? You ready? Answer's real easy. You ready for it? With great power. How do I witness? With great power. Acts 4:33. First thing it says, what does it say? With great power, the apostles continued to testify / witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You know what I always want out of Cool Church, and I hope you've already experienced it? When people come here, you know what I want them to do? I want them to feel God's power. I want them to be a witness to God's power. I want them to experience it. There's been statistics that have been taken for long periods of time that say in the church world, so many people do not stay within the doors of the church because when they get there, they have not experienced God. I don't want the back door of this church to be wide open because it was said that someone did not experience God in this house. I always want this to be a place where we experience him. You know why? Because when you experience God, I don't even have to beg you to talk about it to somebody else. When you experience God, like when you have a really good experience, especially experience for the first time, you know what you do as people? We can't help it. When an experience is good, we tell somebody. We can't help but tell, because we want other people to experience what we have experienced. There's this show that I watch on TV. I don't know if y'all saints are like me. You like to watch the Food Network. Anybody else watch the Food Network? You greedy just like me. Okay. I'm greedy. So I watch the Food Network all the time. And it's this show that comes on called The Best Thing I Ever Ate. The best thing. And here's the issue with it. I love the show, but for the last 40 days, I've been fasting. It's something I've done for the last 5 or 6 years of my life. I fast for the first 40 days. I'm not saying it to brag. I'm just saying it so that you understand the conundrum that I find myself in. One of my favorite shows is The Best Thing I Ever Ate. The problem is I wasn't eating. So I'm watching the show, and I'm trying to be the man of God that he has called me to be. And as I'm trying to be the man of God that he has called me to be by disciplining myself and fasting and staying in my word and praying, my favorite show comes on TV. And these people, man, when you hear them talk about the best thing they ever ate, I mean, all kinds of food lust is going through my mind. As they are talking about this cookie, this specific cookie that you can only get in California. And when you go to this restaurant, there is so much chocolatey goodness inside of this cookie that the cookie cannot even stay together. The morsels of the cookie are so scrumptious and the hot chocolate is bubbling up out of the cookie. And when it comes to your plate, the chocolate is like hot chocolate, sweet molten lava that comes to your palate. And when it touches your palate, you get a tingling sensation. And when you get that tingling sensation, you feel the presence of God himself in the chocolate of this cookie. And when you ingest the cookie, it massages your intestines as it goes down. And as it massages, a deep tissue massage of the chocolate in the cookie of your stomach, you feel the Prince of Peace inside of your belly because you have eaten this cookie. And the church said,
amen.
Y'all ain't know I can preach cookies like that, huh? I love it because the way they talk about the stupid cookie has me planning a flight to California so I can go and allow my tooth to touch the chocolatey goodness so that I could taste and see that the cookie is good. And as I sat there trying not to break my fast with this stupid cookie, I had the thought to myself, it is so interesting that people could testify about something that goes in their body and leaves, but they cannot testify about the one that when he is in you, he says that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and not only will he fill you up, he will fill you up with the fruit of his spirit that is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I'm tired of people telling me about stuff that is good for me, but they're not talking about the one who is good for me, and his name is Jesus. I just wish there was some believers in this place that would testify about having the goodness of God on the inside of you, because when God is on the inside of you, it does not matter what's happening on the outside of you, because when you taste and see that the Lord is good, there is nothing that any devil in hell can do to stop you from proclaiming how great our God is. Can I get a witness? I'm just saying, like, Jesus knew that there had to be something supernatural that comes upon us that will allow his word over 2,000 years later to translate gender, culture, color, creed, and time. He knew that human beings by themselves were not enough to carry on this beautiful tradition of faith. So we read stories about men and women that had an experience that were filled with his power. How do you testify? You cannot testify if you are only operating in your natural. You can only testify when the supernatural power of God comes on you. I love it because look what the Bible says in Acts 1:8. This is one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why do we receive power? To be a witness. If you just left here today with that revelation, it would change what you thought about your actual purpose. We do not receive power to become powerful. We receive power to witness. Let me just change your perspective, because I know there's folks in this room, some old school saints, some maybe some new saints, some folks that really don't know what all this stuff is about. And you've heard about this Holy Ghost thing before, and you've heard about this power, and you've seen different things and different expressions and manifestations of his power. And I will never be the one to tell you how God's power is going to manifest, because God is God and he can do whatever he wants. But I can tell you the reason that you got power in the first place is to witness. We've received power to be a witness. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit. It is the thing that Jesus, the gift that God has left us so that we could be a witness to who he is. For who believes in a God whose subjects have no power? I want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know why a lot of us lack power? We lack power. I lack power because I know me. You may lack power because you know you. Say, what does that mean? We sell ourselves short about what God has put inside of us because we know how we really are. What are you talking about? Well, I may think I don't have power because I fall asleep every time I read my Bible. I may think I don't have power because, if I could be honest, man, I forget to pray every day. I may think I don't have power because on the way over here, somebody cut me off on the highway and I gave them a spirit finger or two as they passed by. I may think I don't have power because I can't remember chapter and verse for every scripture like the pastor. So what we've done is we've disqualified ourselves from something that only God's power can qualify you for. Oh, if you're going to clap, clap. Don't give me a petty clap. Can I get a witness? I don't know how to witness. You don't have to when you have God's power. When you have God's power, something comes on you. Honestly, if I could be really honest and very transparent with you, it was one of the reasons it was so hard to start this church personally for me. You know why? Because I know me. I know me, and I thought about all the things that I didn't have. That's what we do as people, right? We think about all the things that we don't have, so we don't do what God has called us to do. I can't start church. I went to art school. God's like, so I made you. I can't start church. I ain't got a theology degree. I got a degree in art. I'm actually being like dead serious right now. These are things that I would tell myself. And you know what helped me get through it? I remember reading about the disciples just a few verses earlier in Acts 4, 13 through 14. See, I had to remind myself that I could operate in God's power because I had to remind myself who the disciples were. Do you know who the disciples were? Fishermen. Tax collectors. The Bible says this about them, Acts 4, 13 and 14. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John. I talked about this miracle for 2 weeks straight now. Peter and John saw the man at the gate called Beautiful, and he was crippled since birth. And he's like, yo, give me something. He was like, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. And they picked the man up, and he walked. The man had been crippled his entire life. By the end of the passage, it lets you know that that man was 40 years old. He had been crippled for 40 years, and God turned his situation around in a day. I don't know who that's for, but maybe you're going through something, and God can turn your situation around in a day. Heal this man. He begins to testify about what God has done, but the Sadducees, the religious right of the day, they arrest Peter and John, And they make them stand trial before them. And I love what the verse says in Acts 4, 13 through 14. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these are God's disciples, Jesus' disciples, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and realized, look at this, that they were unschooled. I got an art degree. Unschooled, ordinary. They didn't say they were extraordinary. Ordinary men. They marveled and took note that these men had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing there, miracles that we could see, they had nothing to say in response. When you witness to the power of who Jesus is, with the power that he has placed inside of you, you don't have to have the degree. You don't have to know every chapter and verse. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to preach. To preach, your life will begin to show people through the things that you say and the things that you do that you have been with Jesus. Keep the degree. I would rather have the time with Jesus, because when people see that I've been with Jesus, they may come at me, but after a while, they won't have any response to the witness that I've given in Jesus' power. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Don't let people judge you because of what you think you have or do not have. You have the power of the living God inside of you. And with that power, you are called to bear witness. At the end of the day, I'm not really concerned with how many followers I have. I'm always trying to get Jesus' Instagram profile up. I'm trying to get him more followers. Here's the reality, and this is unpopular to preach, but I know it's true. I am called to make Jesus popular in spite of how unpopular it may make me. If you're preaching for a platform, here's the only way I can say this with all the Carroll City slang I got in me. Sit down somewhere. If you are doing it to be seen, you are doing it for the wrong reasons, because we don't have power to be powerful. We have power to testify to who Jesus is. It has never been about our platform. Our power should point us to the power source. Our power should point us to the Prince of Peace. Power should always point you to Jesus. But here's the harsh reality. Sometimes we allow the power that Jesus has put in us. We're not the mirror that we're supposed to be to reflect back upon him. We take that power and we point to ourselves. This is the human condition. We have this thing called flesh. Your flesh wants to kill you. That is just the reality of what it is. That's why all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because this thing does not want this thing, this soul that is on the inside of you, to get back to the place that it came from. It wants it to go into the dirt where it came from. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, the motivation behind your power, if it is selfless, if the motivation is not love, if there is no love in your power, people will never see Jesus in it. They'll never see Jesus in it. And the harsh reality, and once again, this is not popular to preach, but I told you, I'm not preaching for a popularity contest. This has nothing to do with me and everything to do with him. Here's the scary reality. People on this planet throughout history have done things in the name of Jesus that were not done in love. They were done out of hate, therefore bearing a false witness to who Jesus actually is. What you talking about? Y'all, it's real. There are people who in their heart, they did stuff and they thought they were doing it in the name of Jesus, and they had a power and a boldness about it. But even though they were trying to do it in the name of Jesus, they did not do it in the life of Jesus. They did not do it in love. And when we do actions, when we perform actions in his name that are not done in love, we bear false witness to who Jesus is. And we wonder how so many people have a messed up perception of who God is. Because men have skewed this power of love that God gives us for self-gain And because the actions that they have done are done in Jesus' name, people now, instead of having a problem with the person, they have a problem with Jesus. So what are you talking about? Man, look at your history. It's happened time and time and time again. Wars have started in Jesus' name that have bared false witness to who Jesus is. People, this ain't popular, I'm gonna say it. People have been enslaved in the name of Jesus, and that action bears false witness to who Jesus really is. I ain't doing this for the followers, y'all. I'm doing this because it's true. There have been caste systems that put one person above the other in a religious context, and people are saying that it is done in Jesus' name. And what is happening is that people, they get a religious spirit and it bears a false witness to who Jesus is. Our actions, whether they are positive or negative, when you operate in this power, will bear a witness to who Jesus is. What type of witness do you want your actions to say about Jesus? What do you want your actions to say? Because today, in 2019, we are still talking about racism. We are still talking about social injustice. We are still talking about the fact that people are marginalized because people have done negative things in the name of Jesus, and it bears a false witness to his name. It's better than good, it's real. And it speaks to where we are as a family in 2019. We gotta be better about how we witness about who Jesus is. Because the worst thing that can happen is if I am filled with power, but my witness gives a false testimony to who Jesus is. It's the saddest day in the world for me if my actions bear false witness to who he is. We are not given power from God to torment. We are given power from God to testify. We are not given power from God to divide. We are giving power from God to define who God is to a lost and dying generation. We are given power from God to be a witness. How can you witness? With power. But what do you witness about as the band comes up? Continue to testify about the resurrection. You witness with power. What do you witness about? Continue to testify about the resurrection. Acts 4:33. With great power, we got that. Who knew it was so much in three little words? The apostles continued to testify. Let's rewind. With great power, the apostles continued. Stop right there. It didn't say, with great power, the apostles testified. With great power, the apostles continued to testify. You ever, like, hear those people, and we love them because they are brothers and sisters, but they don't have a revelation to Jesus that we do, and when they get, like, in a conversation with a Jesus follower that always talks about Jesus, they're like, man, can't you talk about anything else? You always talking about Jesus. I would say to that person, what the Bible says is that with great power, the apostles continue. It means that they did it more than once. It means that they kept talking about him. They never stopped talking about who Jesus, what, man, I'll never forget growing up. Once again, one of my spiritual parents, he is in heaven with Jesus right now. I am believing in Jesus' name. His name was Pastor O.A. Alderson. And some of y'all know him. From the time I was a little boy of 3 years old at Trinity Church all the way up into my 20s, early 30s, Pastor Owe was one of those mighty men of God that had always shown me what this spiritual journey looked like. And anybody that knows Pastor Owe, in my entire life, 30-something years of knowing this man, every time I met him, you know what he did? He told me his testimony. Every single. He told me his testimony so much, I could recite it back to you perfectly. It's like, oh, I'll never forget, I was in Lake Okeechobee and I fell out of a boat and the boat came and ran back over my head and the propeller, it split my head and my ear was off and they had to irrigate my brain when they pulled me out. My blood was all over Lake Okeechobee, but thanks be to God, they got me on that hospital bed. They sewed my ear back on, my brain came back to life and God resurrected me off of that bed. And now I'm here today to tell you that God could resurrect anything, but more than that, he could resurrect Jesus off the cross and he's still alive and well. And because of that, you need to... I heard that testimony time and time and time and time again because he continued. But you know what he taught me? Is that all miracles should testify to the greatest miracle of all, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can resurrect from a bad relationship because Jesus Christ has been resurrected. You can resurrect from a bad financial situation because Jesus Christ has been resurrected. You can resurrect from a bad diagnosis from the doctor because Jesus Christ has been resurrected. You can resurrect from depression because Jesus Christ has been resurrected. You can resurrect from loneliness and sorrow. Why? Because Jesus Christ has been resurrected. We can be resurrected out of any situation. We can raise back to life from any situation because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is already risen. Every miracle that God will ever perform will always testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What do you testify about? The resurrection. We don't serve a God that is dead. He's alive. And we got to testify to that fact. No, Jesus was not just a good teacher. No, he was just not a man that performed miracles. No, he was not just this saint that walked the earth and lived a perfect life. No, he was God. Therefore, death could not hold him. I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to read a lot of this chapter because there's no other eloquent way I could take these words and say them. So I'm just going to read what the Apostle Paul wrote about the resurrection. And I want you to bear witness to what Paul himself, this is the man that killed Christians before he had a Damascus Road experience with Jesus that blinded him, but then the scale fell off his eyes. And this is the man that wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament, which we quote each and every Sunday. He had an encounter. He had an experience with Jesus, and he used the rest of his life to testify about it. Look at what he says. Oh, this is so good. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you stand firm. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once." If God wanted to do anything to prove that he was resurrected, this man said, okay, I'm gonna make sure that people see me when I get up. I love this. It says, "And he appeared to James and all the apostles," verse 8, "and last, He appeared to me also as one of untimely birth. But if it's preached, listen to this, that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, this is how passionate he is about his statement that he just made, because he wants you to see the truth in it. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching, my preaching, is worthless, and so is your faith. That's how serious he is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ has not been raised, my preaching is useless, and so is your faith. This is one big waste of time. He says, and in that case, we are also exposed as a false witness about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I am not still in my sins because Christ has been raised and his grace has been poured out on me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Verse 18 and 19, catch this. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, talking about the saints that have passed before us, they have perished. And if our hope in Christ is for this life alone, what we are experiencing now, look at what he says. We are to be pitied more than all men. Let me translate that for you. Let me break it down. If Jesus did not physically raise from the dead, not just spiritually, people think like, oh, he raised from the dead, no, spirit went up to heaven. No. He physically rose. Say, how do you know? Because he still had scars. His body still had the nail-pierced hands, still had the nail-pierced feet, still had the piercing in his side. His physical body rose. And this is the difference between believers and skeptics right here, because this is a hard pill. If his physical body did not raise from the dead, then the world should think that we are crazy and have pity on us. Because it would be as if, it would almost be better if his body did not come back, that he had never existed at all. The reality is, if Jesus is dead, he's a false god. If Jesus is dead, if he stayed dead, he's a false god, and we should not worship him. But I believe Jesus is God. Can I get a witness? I believe Jesus is alive. Can I get a witness? I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin through immaculate conception. Can I get a witness? I believe that Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor, in God, and men. Can I get a witness? I believe that he out-Phariseed the Pharisees when he was 12 years old and he stayed back at the temple. Can I get a witness? I believe that Jesus healed the cripple. Can I get a witness? I believe that Jesus opened blind eyes. Can I get a witness? I believe that Jesus healed the demon possessed. Can I get a witness? I believe that Jesus brought dead things back to life. Can I get a witness? I believe that when he prayed in the garden, he sweat drops of blood. Can I get a witness? I believe that he carried that old rugged cross up a hill. Can I get a witness? I believe he took a crown of thorns on his head. Can I get a witness? I believe that his hands and feet were pierced. Can I get a witness? I believe that he stretched his arms open wide to pour out grace upon humanity. Can I get a witness? I believe that he said, it was finished. And when he said it is finished, all the devil's tyranny over your life was done. Can I get a witness? I believe that he died. Can I get a witness? I believe he was put in the tomb. Can I get a witness? I believe he didn't stay dead. Can I get a witness? I believe that he went down into the depths of hell and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Can I get a witness? I believe he made a public spectacle of the devil. Can I get a witness? I believe on the third day, Jesus rose again and he sits at the right hand of our Father, advocating for you and me. Can I get a witness? I believe that grace isn't for some of us. I believe it's for all of us. Can I get a witness? I believe that my God is not dead. He is alive. Can I get a witness?
Wow, what a message. Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.